Okay. Well, this is the graveyard shift after lunch.
Yeah.
It's so a great start. To keep everyone awake.
Yeah. Just being adjusted, and then we can begin. Okay. Okay. Well, we have a conference coming up. It's a good point just to make a few mentions of it in the way of an advert. Most people here are coming, except for one, maybe. Not. we didn't really talk about the last one. It's probably so far back in our memory, Foundation 6. But it was actually very successful for those who were there. No one would deny that, but they might. And we had, I think it ticked all the boxes. And but of course, at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about, you know, what the Lord has for people. I'd always say that the one before was successful in its own way, even though it got people fired up in certain ways. But we have to realise that each conference has its own objective. Unique learning curve. Okay, so this one coming up, what is unique about it is its title. So before we go into the conference details, it's just interesting to throw around the title, which is Hebraic Church, which also happens to be the name of my next book, which again I won't mention until a bit later when it's relevant and someone else can bring that one up. But
and then what happens if you put Hebraic Church into Google?
Oh, I don't know. You tell me.
Number one, Salt Shakers.
Yes, number one, Salt Shakers, the website for discerning adults and children and Christians. But I don't know what that's all about. So I think Hebraic Church is it's a phrase. I totally forgot. What's the technical term for two words that shouldn't go together?
She's right, you know.
She's right.
He's just... There
we go. Reminds me of that two Ronnie sketch. It's Mastermind sketch. He's answering the question before.
Oxymoron.
Sorry, what
are you saying?
Oxymoron.
That's it, oxymoron. Yes. Right. Talking of oxymorons.
It shouldn't be an oxymoron.
It shouldn't be.
It should naturally go together.
I think we have a historical blockage and misunderstanding. And, you know, that made the church decide that these two words should not go together. Because those in the church would be quite scared of this word Hebraic because they think it means going backwards, going into...
It sounds too much like Hebrew,
bondage,
doesn't it, really?
Jewish, you know, Torah. All the negative words that have come down through history, that is a blockage for those in the church. And then for those, let's say, within the Messianic movement... They don't like the word church because it implies, you know, they look at the history of how the church has not done what it's meant to have done, particularly in regards to Israel and the Jewish people. So we're stuck in the middle. We've got people from both sides probably looking at us and saying, why have you put those two words together? Well, I think there's nothing wrong with doing something new and trying to reclaim what I think God intended originally, and that is that the church... should be Hebraic in the sense of the mindset and the attitude of the people at the time of Jesus who were Jewish, who had this thing called the Hebraic mindset. That's all we're saying. We're not saying that we're going back to Old Testament times or we're going to be stuck under the law in the negative sense or becoming Jewish or anything like that. So if anyone out there thinks that's what's going to happen at a conference, it isn't. It's a sincere desire to go back to origins. Now, a lot of church initiatives have said, well, let's go back to the time of Acts. And there have been many groups that have set up on that premise, you know, like the house group movement in the 70s and 80s. Said, let's go back to Acts 2. And, you know, and they did. But what they didn't bring back was the Hebraic mindset. They still had the Greek mindset controlling things. So what happened was that they ended up, like any other denomination, with structures, with liturgies, and all the negative stuff that the Greek mindset gives you. So we're saying that we believe there's something different about the Hebraic mindset, and we want to explore that at the conference. Now, I don't know whether that speaks to you, Colin, because you weren't too sure when I on the advert when it says Hebraic Church, you wasn't probably, I just wonder what your conception of what you thought Hebraic church was.
Well, I mean, like Monica says, it's got a close association with the word Hebrew, and therefore a language and a culture that's different. And, I mean, I don't know if most Jews these days think of themselves as Hebrews, so we tend to think of it as an ancient Jewish thing rather than one Jewish. Well, so, but in terms of wanting to know what Hebraic church is, I'm really more concerned about how church should be, whether it's Hebraic or not. The label doesn't matter. And I suppose there are aspects of that which are really, really important. I mean, I've never been one that separated the Old Testament from the New and thought that's irrelevant, we should throw it out. I've always felt they go together, and there's a background to the coming of Jesus, which is very important for people to investigate to whatever level they can. So no problems with that. I think it's when it goes into sort of Israeli dancing and laying out a blow of shofar, I'm not kind of, you know, it's interesting, but it's not my thing.
That's interesting, because that does happen, because we naturally attract people that are into that. And though I must say, the Hebraic dancing that we had last time, which we had for the first time from this particular teacher, it was fantastic. You know, what she brought out, and it wasn't necessarily Jewish in any sense. It was it was just seeing, you know, how dance can be used as a form of worship, and then all the different imaginative ways that she did it. She had, I don't know, at one point they all had like paper swords in their mind. I don't know what they were doing. she just expressed, you know, sort of her way, you know, through her dance. She had so many different expressions that came out, and I imagine the origins were probably Old Testament Davidic sort of origins, and I think maybe that could be a good thing for those who are totally not used to that, to actually be introduced to something that is, through its origins, biblical. That's just one aspect. And, there are strange people. Not to say strange is a bad word to use.
People.
We're all strange. I'm saying, there will be a lot of chauffeur blowing. Yeah, there always is. But
that's not what the strange that you're talking about.
I'm not sure what I'm
be
saying.
Be specific.
But we hopefully, we in particular at the conference, there's one day we're calling Hebraic Church Day, which is going to be an open-ended day for people to explore, have their own journey into worship, instigated initially by Joe explaining what worship is. Maybe you can give us a little précis of what you would say then about what you consider worship to be.
So worship, the common understanding of worship is singing together. And there's no doubt about it, that is a really important part of it. And that corporate coming together and singing songs of worship to God is a key part of worship. But there are other dimensions. And the three main words for worship in the Bible are to kiss the feet. Now, when I'm talking about kissing the feet, I don't mean in affection. It's not like a lover's kiss. It's kind of, if you went to be hot before a major king, you would bow down and kiss his feet in utter deference, in utter reverence, saying, "You are the king. You know, I am the humble servant." That's the sort of proscunio. That's the sort of worship word where we are just abandoned to God and honour him and worship him, but just not just in song. It's a state of heart, it's a state of attitude, it's a state of mind. So that's one. Another word is to serve. So there's a few words, Greek words, liturgio, to I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's to serve in the temple or to serve. So do you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, Nancy made her fantastic ginger flapjack.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is worship, you know. That serving is part of worship.
Yeah. It's interesting, just as an aside to that, because we were talking about it yesterday, and you and Monica were thinking of ideas of, you know, we want to show different expressions of worship at the conference, and one of them was acts of service. And you had this idea of what people could do in terms of gifts for each other. Just wonder whether, Mom, do you remember what you were saying?
They were just the beginnings of ideas, though. Yeah. So we're not quite sure whether we want to keep it under wraps or whether we talked about it previously, hadn't we? And so developed it last night a little bit more. Knowing that as people form relationships with each other and get to know each other during the conference, because we know there are great sort of bonds made, friendships made, if God places somebody who you've had a conversation with on your heart and you want to give them something, we are going to make certain things, little things available that you can give anonymously or as a gift from you to this person to be delivered to their room. Just something, if you know that that person needs encouragement or that person needs love or something that they've shared with you and that will be special to them. So we are thinking around these ideas.
Actually, just
those
on that,
things that
on
we
that
can
point, do you remember last year, Norma, who's not here today, she, because of the way she is, and she's the only person that ever done this, she wrote a note to the chambermaid of the room thanking her for her work. She might have even left a gift or something. Mm. And that was so unprecedented. It came up in their monthly meeting, staff meeting, at the conference centre. And this chambermaid was just so taken back by it. You know, someone actually appreciates what we're doing. And that was Norma's normal act of service. Mm. So these things, you know, little things can make a big difference. You know? Yeah.
So we will develop that idea. And,
To be developed. This is the caring, sharing conference.
Yes. I mean, I think the best model for worship that we have is the tabernacle. And if you look at the tabernacle, it wasn't all about just singing songs, although songs were an important part of it. It was about the sacrifice, the water, the candlestick. There were all these things, the priest's service, the priest's clothes. It's a highly complex phenomenon, the tabernacle. And we can, as we draw in, there are so many different ways that we can worship God.
Yeah.
So that's a little kind of synopsis.
Yeah.
So just to come back, just to clarify, so the three main words in Greek in the New Testament are bow down, kiss the feet, and serve.
Okay. Well, so, yeah, following on from that, we want everyone to come away from the conference thinking that God has touched them in a certain way, a unique way to them. And we want to try to facilitate that on the Wednesday by saying that we're not leading from the front to say, you know, you do this now, you do that, sit up, stand down, you know, and listen to this or go over there. We're saying after an initial period, they are free to plot their own journey throughout the day. And we're offering alternatives, all different expressions of worship. So there'll be like a prayer walk, for instance. There'll be continuous Bible reading in one area where you can just join in, you can listen, or you can take part, and that will go on all through the day. There'll be an outdoors pulpit that Monica's going to construct with a little ladder. And it will be, if someone has a message on their mind, they can climb the pulpit and start, you know, preaching or whatever, like a speaker's corner.
Or sharing,
or whatever. Yeah. And just like speaker's corner, you'd expect people to be responding as well. So we need to make sure that some people might have to be monitored, but we'll deal with that. Communion, you can choose. Well, there'll be a permanent communion table, so that you can choose to share communion with someone of your choice or by yourself. There's a thing called, I'm calling it the confession bowl. A great big goldfish bowl full of water with this paper that you can write your sins on, and then it gets dissolved in the water. So it's a sense of clearing up your conscience before God. Something that the high church seems to do better than the low church, you know, with its liturgy of, you know, now let's all confess our sins and whatever. And creative, we can have a big whiteboard with a question: is what is Hebraic church? And people can just write or draw pictures or, you know, put Bible quotes on, or Jesus is, and, you know, or anything. You know, just creative expressions, maybe crafts as well. I don't know. We have to think about that.
So I'm hoping that it's a good time midweek on Wednesday to do that, because people will have had time, hopefully, to have slowed down. Because I think what you're describing that day sounds a bit scary, because we like order and to be contained and have limits, put our boundaries put on us. And so when something hasn't got boundaries, it can be a little bit scary. But that's where the trust in God is, that given, if you're given time and space, that God can speak through his word and into your heart and through other people. But because of our pace of our lives outside of this, you know, the conference, sometimes that can't happen.
Yeah, we're too busy running around.
So hopefully, I think we will probably need patience during the day as well.
People can do what that, if they just
allow God to.
If someone wants to sit on the bench and read the Bible all day, that's fine.
Yeah, so so people aren't forced to do things.
Not forced to do anything.
This is a day where, you know, you, as you said, you know, that you can go through this journey and choose and just be led by the Holy Spirit what to do next.
And we have our two actors who are preparing something that we're not too sure what it is yet, and they probably are not sure either.
Performance makers.
Performance makers.
Interactive experience.
There'll be an interactive experience. That's all we'll say on that for now. So I suppose our expectation is at the end of the day, after we've had like the evening meal, we'll all get together as a group. And we'll just have like a panel discussion. We'll say, did God speak to anyone today? And what we'd love to hear is that God is speaking to the group, but individually, with a message that would be for all of us. And that would be great, because it will be, because we're not, remember, we're doing away with any sort of manipulation or leading from the front. We're not suggesting any content at any point. So if God does speak and it seems to be a unified message, then that'd be brilliant. So that's what we should pray for. So if that intrigues you out there, and you haven't signed up yet, it's filling up fast. and apart from that, we've got great speakers. The two old men will be there. The two old geezers. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. David and Chris. David and Chris will be there. obviously myself. Two great guests. On the Tuesday, we've got Andrea Williams, who Mike and I saw a couple of weeks ago, of Christian Concern, a dynamic lady who will speak from her heart as to what she thinks is happening in society that's sort of running against the church and what we should be doing. And there'll be a Q&A session with her as well. And then on the Thursday, we've got Alex Jacob, who's the head of CMJ, Church's Ministry to Jewish People, who again will talk about the church and the Jewish people. So I don't know exactly what he's going to talk about with a Q&A again. Apart from that, see, you know, the usual, you know, mixture of fun, friendship, you know, whatever. Do come. And there's absolute, everyone's falling asleep. I told you it's a graveyard.